This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Good afternoon. This is Feminist Fridays on The Bigger Picture, and I'm Juliet Jacobs. Many women are working in the sustainability space, but do these women leaders lack a strong support system and community? Joining me now are two formidable women working in the sustainability industry, Econite's president Yasmin Rashid and The Body Shop Malaysia's Datin Mina Chia Fung, to discuss why it's important to empower women as leaders in order to achieve sustainable development, and also to discuss the immense social and economic impacts of closing the gender gap. Welcome, ladies. How are you today?
Thanks for having us.
Fine, thank you.
Thank you so much for joining us. And I think just to start off with, I think people would like to hear the stories of how the both of you got into the sustainability movement and industry. Maybe we can start with you, Datin Mina.
The Body Shop has been sustainable even before the word sustainability came about. You know, we've just always employed good housekeeping methods to run our business. And, you know, it's basically common sense. You know, doing something to make sure that you can last into the future is just really common sense.
Mm-hmm. And why was it that you were, you know, because Body Shop is known for being, you know, no animal testing, it's known for, you know, all the good things basically that we want of our corporations. Why was it important for you to go into something like that?
You know, I've always been quite aware of the world around me. And even as a child, I've always been interested in the outdoors and I've loved animals all my life. And it's just seemed like a natural part of my daily living, my daily life, that, you know, if I care about these issues in my personal life, why do I not care about it in my professional life? Many people come to work and seem to leave their wholesome self at home. They come to work and they believe that they need to behave in a certain manner, that they need to behave in a corporate manner. I don't know what that means, you know? Mm-hmm. So I tell people, you are a whole person. Why don't you bring everything that you have at home? If you practice recycling at home, if you practice frugality at home, which is basically what sustainable is, don't consume more than you need. And coming from a retailer, that's quite surprising, right? But the thing is, you know, that's where we are at. You don't use more than you need at home, right? You're careful to save on your electricity, you know, to turn off the lights when you don't need to use it. But when you come to work, all of that basic frugal habits gets left behind. Mm-hmm. So this was something that I found to be very strange, that people would come in and behave differently from when they're home. I mean, at home, we are wives and mothers and we look after our parents and we look after, you know, we make major life-changing decisions, right? Where to go to school, which doctor to see, what therapies to use. But when we come to work, we leave all of that behind. Similarly, with this whole issue of sustainability, as far as I've practiced it my entire life, it's not different. Mm-hmm. You use perhaps different language. You use business language that people are more familiar with, more comfortable with, but I don't think the principles are any different from living your life in a wholesome manner.
Mm-hmm. That's wonderful, you know. I mean, and like you said, less is all that we need. We don't need more. The whole reason we're in such a big problem, you know, the environmental problems, is because of our overconsumption, our overpopulation, you know, all those sorts of problems. So yeah, it's wonderful to hear.
You know, one of the companies that I admire the most is this company called Patagonia. And they actually tell you, you just buy one jacket for the rest of your life.
Yes.
You know, and if you need to do it, repair it. I tell you, in Malaysia, it's so hard to get people to repair things. And also with progress, you know, in the old days at the Body Shop, we used to do refills. And then we became more aware, more conscious of health and safety, which I guess is a good thing. So we stopped refilling because there was cross-contamination. You have to take responsibility. I think sometimes business forces us to do things that don't really, you know, that you know you can try and encounter. So I guess there's still hope for more people to come into this sustainability arena, because refills, if someone can come and help us get through this challenge of how do we refill products cleanly and sustainably without creating more waste, because even when you refill, if the refill comes in a pack, you still have waste coming from that pack.
Yep.
So, you know, it's in the old days, we'll happily refill your shampoo bottle with a cleanser, your toner bottle with a face. And, you know, we thank goodness we never got into trouble then. But if we try to do it now in this day and age where we are more supposedly enlightened and aware, you know, I think we'll be inviting a lot of trouble. But that's the challenge. But therein also lies the opportunity for people to work in this sustainability arena.
And Yasmin, you know, you yourself, you started Eco Nights. You know, maybe you can share that story of getting it off the ground, you know, how you did it. I think you almost did it practically by yourself, or?
Pretty much. I mean, before Eco Nights was born, I've always been quite passionate about environmental work, but I was a bit of a geek and a nerd. So I did a lot of the science, and the organization's work that I worked for required me to do more field work, scientific work. But I think the pivotal time came when I had to stand in for someone to go to a school to educate children. And my work at that time was river conservation and looking at pollution. And I was speaking to a bunch of 10-year-olds, and I felt like they were completely dissociated from what I was trying to say. Disinterested, because I doubt they had a recent trip to a river or actually even know what a clean river looks like. And I think that was the point where I realized, okay, I'm doing all this work, but then there's a really huge population out there that is not even aware, first of all, of the work that I do, and what more would they know what actions they need to take? Mm-hmm. So before Eco Nights officially, you know, grew bigger, I only did really, really small community works. We're offering free workshops, talks, simple things like dealing with food waste, or even just awareness. And back then was 2005, so my daughter was only about maybe 3-4 years old. So I did a lot of children's activities because I wanted to include her in. If I figure if I can educate other people's kids, I'll bring my kid along as well.
Yeah, for sure.
And over the years, Eco Nights has grown to be a teenager now, and we're doing a lot more teenager-related programs because she's 15 now. So I'm kind of evolving with my little one as well along the way.
Okay. Yeah. And I guess, you know, both of you are, well, obviously women.
Let me check.
You know, we are a spectrum, you know. We go from a whole rainbow.
Yeah. So how do you feel, you know, both of you as women leaders, how do you feel you improve a company's financial, environmental and social performance? Do you think that as women, you bring a whole different dimension to your companies?
I think as women, we are naturally nurturing. We are used to multitasking. So it's not difficult for us to think about multiple issues simultaneously. Mm-hmm. You know, we've all our lives, we've been trained to do that. So coming into a corporation, you know, people, you know, you look for employees, but people turn up. Mm-hmm. And people are the same, whether they're your sisters, your mother, your brother, all these requires emotional intelligence. And I think women have that in abundance. We need to learn to speak in a language that everybody understands. If you come into an office environment and say, oh, I love you and I care for you, people view you with suspicion, right?
Sadly.
But yes, you know, but if you speak in corporate speak and say, I care about your career progression. Mm-hmm. And I think we need to have a talk about the interactions that you have with your colleagues. Okay, then it becomes acceptable. I think that's where women have to learn. We need to not diminish, not suppress the skills that we have, that we've been trained from childhood, you know. And this whole nurturing instinct, this whole mothering instinct, this whole developmental instinct. If we can bring up children to be useful members of society, why can we not develop our colleagues and our employees in the same manner, to be honest, trustworthy, you know, keep their promises, no lying. I mean, all these values are universal values, whether you are a human being or you are an employee. You know, people seem to separate it out. And I think it is a lie that business forces you to do things that's against your personal ethics or your moral code. All of us have a moral compass. We know, We should treat people with respect. There should be no bullying. You know, all these things are taught to you as children. But when we come into a position of power in an office environment, sometimes we feel, oh, we have to exert our authority. And how does that, you know, in certain situations, it's bullying, right? So I think that's where the line comes in. People tend to keep their selves, their better selves at home. And they keep their better, their higher humanness in their home environments with their friends. But with their colleagues, they seem to feel that it's a different kind of persona I have to put on. And I think that's the trap that a lot of women fall into, because we're in an environment where the majority of C-suite people are men.
Yeah.
And therefore, you feel you have to behave in a certain manner for people to take you seriously. Unfortunately, in Malaysia, a lot of the times it's true. So, you know, we have to get beyond that.
What about you, Yasmin? As a woman leader, you know, starting this from scratch on your own, you know, what sort of difference do you think you brought to your company? Because I know you, I mean, you mentioned adding your daughter into kind of your plan. You know, how did that, you think that changed the course of Econites?
I have to be honest, I don't have much of a business background or corporate background. So a lot of how Econites grew as an organization, which is based on gut feeling and very instinctive.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, echoing Datin's response just now, I was just mentioning these three things to my staff yesterday: respect, humility, and cross-understanding among colleagues. I think these three things, like, you know, it's not just a value I wish people would have at work, but something they embody as well. Because one of the things I keep thinking of is, you know, people move on in their career to achieve better things. And this one thing is always at the back of my mind. Have I provided enough for them today in this organization? Are their skills better today? Are they communicating better? Are they multitasking well? So that when they leave, they take the best of Econites and what they've learned and innovate and contribute better to a different company. Mm-hmm. So that's always at the back of my mind. So when I'm always happy when people move on, but I want to make sure they move on with these core values, because at the end of the day, people are going to look back and say, where were you from before? And I really hope, you know, those that have been with us appreciate where I'm coming from when I teach these things. And we've also got a very laid-back culture. I made it that way because I don't have a nanny, so my kids are in and out of the office. Like lunchtime, they're normally in, you know, that kind of thing. So I made it a very comfortable environment where any woman that walks in, especially single mothers, feel a sense of belonging. I don't want them to feel like they have to hide that child at home or feel like
kill themselves.
Yeah,
trying
or
to
have
find,
two personalities, yeah, come in, do this, and then, you know, go out there. So I want it to be more family oriented, and I think it all goes back to the home values as well. You know, you wash up after you use whatever you have, you know, that kind of thing. So I hope, I'm not sure if this is predominantly a female thing. I certainly haven't heard many men saying about this, huh? In your office, but
I haven't. Well, actually, no, I lie. My boss, boss of BFM, he is very much like that as well. So
it's good. Some feminine values are good.
I'm speaking today to Yasmin Rashid and Datin Mina Chia Fong, and we are discussing women leadership in sustainability. And we will continue this discussion after this quick break. You are listening to Feminist Fridays on The Bigger Picture, BFM 89.9. Good afternoon. This is Feminist Fridays on The Bigger Picture, and I'm Julia Jacobs. In the studio with me today are two very lovely ladies, Yasmin Rashid, the president of Econites, and Datin Mina Chia Fong. She is the managing director of Body Shop Malaysia. And we're discussing women leadership and sustainability, which is a topic that will be discussed at the upcoming Eco Film Festival, which is coming up just this month.
Mm-hmm.
So ladies, I mean, have you ever encountered sexism in your line of work?
All the time.
Same here.
But you can't let it bother you. You just have to go... you know, you have to go beyond it. It's not so much conscious sexism. It's cultural sexism that I find that we have to deal with here.
Okay.
When, just as an example, if we go for a corporate function and I go with my husband, generally the men all go to one side, the women all go to the other. Okay. You know, you bring your spouse along.
Sure.
And I find that just by osmosis, by... I don't know what it is. You know, all of a sudden, I'm standing around with a group of women. All right. And we're talking about maids. We're talking about schools. We're talking about household issues. All right. Very important. However, this is supposed to be networking. I'm supposed to be networking. So, you know, that was in the early days, and I would stand there and you know, men would talk and then women would be in one section of the room. But now what I do is I go in, I pay my dues, I say hello to all the wives and everything, and then I go off and do what I have to do with the men and whoever else that I'm there that I wanted to speak to or want to see or so on. I mean, is that sexism or is that cultural? You know, you women are expected to sit. I've been to dinners where women are all sat at one table and the men are all sat at another table. And if you are, you know, okay, fine, we have very interesting, very joyful conversations together as women. But if it is a work thing, right, and I'm there for a purpose, you know, I have to extricate myself and I have to go. And I found over the years that if I immediately launch in and start, you know, hailing all the men and saying, hey, you know, this one, we need to get together. And all, you know, there is an atmosphere that's not comfortable. And then I've got this reputation. Everybody will tell you that I'm a real fierce person and, you know, she's like no holds barred and so on. I mean, the reputation comes because I decided that, fine, you know, if I'm going to get ahead with this, I have to play with the boys, right? And if I'm going to have to play with the boys, I have to be able to be physically standing in the circle or in the field where the boys are playing. And when you start to do that, you get a reputation of being very tough and, you know, actually, to be perfectly honest, when I was with women in my younger days, when my kids were in school, I would feel so inadequate talking to the other mothers because they would know everything that was happening in the school. And I'll be there and they'll be saying, you mean you don't know that the class teacher changed? I said, I don't know. Oh my God, is the canteen closed? When did the canteen close? And I would be completely like, you know, derelict because I didn't know. I never spent time in the school, you know. And my child would, I mean, the things that we talk about were not the day-to-day happenings in the school. It was him, his friends, and so on. So I used to feel very inadequate. But when I went to talk to the men, at least I was in my element. I knew what I was talking about. So is that sexism? Well,
I guess, you know, it is sexism. It's very ingrained sexism, I would say, which they use culture to kind of excuse it. Like, oh, you know, as women, you're expected to kind of, you know, take the back role to the nurturing and all that sort of thing. But, you know, nothing wrong with that.
Nothing wrong with that. You know, and I want to tell women that it's okay. You know, people will label you because people are more comfortable labeling people, putting people in niches and so on. And if you are happy, if you are comfortable with it, if you are true to yourself and your family and your friends value you, your business is progressing in an ethical, honest manner that you want it to progress, forget about the labeling. You know, it will happen. You cannot control people's mouths. So let them go and do what they want and then you progress in the manner that you see best fit for yourself and your business.
Exactly. And what about you, Yasmin? I mean, both of you said a very resounding yes when you faced sexism in the workplace.
Yeah, I think I get it a lot when they don't know me. I think it's also a little bit of a curse on my side. Like, you know, I think in my line of work, funnily, you know, there are so many countless times where I'm only either the only female on a panel or for some reason, this is such a male-dominated kind of world, right? And it's hard. It's hard. I can't blame them for being judgmental as well. Until they figure out, like, oh, she's going to present a paper, she's going to talk about something, and then that perspective changes 360. Mm-hmm. So I think sometimes, you know, you risk this of people just based on how you look or just giving that kind of judgment. And I'm not sure whether it's called sexism or not, but there are certain inadequacies. Sometimes I feel as a female walking in. But I try not to, you know, put that too much as a main focus because I think women are very cunning population. And I think sometimes being judged or being labeled can be very constructive for women in a very, I don't want to use the word manipulative, but it can actually serve a dual purpose.
Okay.
So not sure if I answered that correctly, but
I guess I mean it goes to the question, you know, of how women helping women, you know, sometimes if they see another woman on top, they're trying to the women will try and fight.
You know, there's all that with women,
nonsense, what they call as cat fights and things like that. You know, do you think that's a myth, or is that an actual reality?
I think it's quite a reality. Okay. I think you need women to grow, to develop. But in my last 5 years, I've also seen the other side of women that has it's quite an oxymoron, lah. But I think this is the issues that as a woman you gotta be smart about how you interact, how you engage, and move on. Don't let the negative aspects of being a woman, you know, bug you down.
Mm-hmm. Happily, I've had the opposite kind of experiences. You know, all of the mentors that I have had along my journey have been women. Mm-hmm. Is it because I purposefully seeked out women? I'm not sure. But I think it must have been also because women were more willing to share. Mm-hmm. Perhaps I found them more nurturing and more accepting, you know, and I've had different experiences. In my company, my CEO is a woman, my COO is a woman. You know, because we are in the cosmetics and toiletries industry, you know, I find that most of my employees are women, which is not true of the entire cosmetic and toiletries industry in Malaysia. Mm-hmm. I think I am the only woman who's really truly in charge of an industry that sells mainly to women, 85% to women, but run by men. Mm-hmm. All right. So, but in my company, I think we are a company of women for women, and I'm very proud of that. And throughout my career, you know, I've been thinking about this, you know, since for some time now, about whether it is true that women are jealous of other women in their success. And I honestly, hand to heart, can say that that is not true. I work with a lot of women in NGOs, and I find them to be generally very focused on the task, on doing what they want to achieve, you know, and my mentors, like I said, have been women. So I really cannot think that women purposefully pull other women down. I don't think so.
Well, that's interesting. So, you know, both of you have had very, very different experiences. Mm-hmm. But it's positive. It's nice to hear that what you're saying, Tatimina, that, you know, you had all these mentors. And how would you say working under a female mentor? Do you think it would have been different had you had more male mentors? Do you think you would have your approach to your business would have been different?
No, I don't think so. I don't think so. Like I said in the very beginning of this this chat, I think you bring to your business the values that you grew up with, you know, the moral compass that you develop within yourself. So I don't think it's changed me. I've sought out mentors at different turning points in my career, just to have a sounding board, mm-hmm. you know. And I think women give other women a special perspective. When, as women, when we make a major career change, we think of our families, we think of our children, we think of their schooling, the uprooting of their friendships with their people, mm-hmm. their peers in school. We think of our parents, who's going to look after them and do the daily marketing for them. All these issues come into play when you talk to a women executive about a big, huge promotion overseas. Yes. Whereas mm-hmm. with a man, they come back and they say, "Ooh, this is a big opportunity for me. Don't worry, mommy will work herself out. The kids will find a new school. They'll make new friends," right?
Yep.
So it's very different. So, you know, I think women have a different perspective, and we come with a different mindset as well. So, you know, these times, I find women have an insight for other women. Mm-hmm. You know, when I talk to someone, another woman, she understands. She understands the cultural expectations of Malaysians, saying that the man is always the breadwinner. The man must go out to work. You know, when you go and pick up your kids from school, you know, in the times that I was working, you hardly find any men. Now I think it's fantastic. Yeah, you know, yeah. I go to the gynecologist's office and men are sitting there, yes, with their wives.
Yes, yes.
You know, when I was going during my childbearing years, no husbands went. Right, it's all just so. I'm so hopeful for this new generation of men that they are actually wanting, because I always felt that they miss out on so much joy and love and experience of being with young children growing up. Yeah. You know, all of a sudden they turn around, their career is zooming, but their kids are, you know, dooming, mm-hmm, right? So, I mean, where did all that time go? So that's why I purposefully went to seek out women mentors, because they understand, they have a different perspective to what the issues that you grapple with, you know?
Exactly.
You go and talk to a man, he's like, no brainer, man, just go.
Yeah.
Go for it.
Straightforward.
And then you say, what about my mother? What about my kids' school? And then, you know what they tell you? Oh, my wife takes care of all of that. So whenever people ask me, what is it that I want a wife.
Yeah, sounds like a miss.
Right or not?
Yeah.
What about you, Yasmin? I mean, did you have female mentors yourself, or did you seek them out when you were starting out?
I think I have mentors everywhere here and there. Some of them don't even know I think of them as mentors. I when I look at someone, I really also dissect and analyze the kind of values that I want to embody, or maybe a certain characteristic, certain things that really inspire me or empower me. I don't really go actively seeking. I maybe seek subconsciously, but I also believe in just more divine intervention.
Mm-hmm.
And some people have always been by my side. I just never realized or even called them mentors. But I was just listening to you, Datin, and I realized it's just one person that I was just with this morning. Every time I'm down, or even I'm on a high, right? That would be the one person I call and get ideas, perspective. No offense taken, you know, we can be very honest with each other. And I think it's necessary to have someone, at least someone like that, where you can not cross-check, but bounce ideas, maybe divulge a little bit about your mixed feelings or emotions and get a clearer perspective from them.
Mm-hmm.
But I think at the end of the day, we are our own individuals, yeah? So we should be able to assess what we hear from, you know, people outside as well.
Yeah, and also, you know, I was just curious that, you know, working in this line, both as, you know, you're the front line, you're both women. Have there ever been situations where you think you were not taken seriously based solely on the fact that you were a woman?
Haha, anybody who tries not to take me seriously when I want them to take me seriously will definitely know about it.
Wonderful to hear, wonderful to hear.
You know, and that's why I have a reputation as a tough nut. Right, but right. You know, but that's just me.
and that goes to my other question. You know, there's this thing where women must be likable. And if you're not, you're branded a tough nut. You know, but if you, let's say, were a man who was just demanding respect, right, which is something that everyone does.
You know, I try, Juliet, I try very hard to be likable. You know why? Because it is an asset, whether you're a man or a woman. Mm-hmm. People gravitate to people that they like,
mm-hmm,
right?
Mm-hmm.
And if you come across as being very uncaring, very unfeeling, you know, very critical and all that, I mean, all those are negative aspects. So it's good to be likable, right? In that sense,
mm-hmm,
to have an open personality, mm-hmm, that people will want to gravitate to you and be with you. That is something that I try to cultivate. Not from because I want to use it as a feminine
charm
advantage. But if you have charm, if you have natural charm, it is an advantage. You know, life is hard enough already. And why do you want to work to be mean and nasty, right?
Yeah.
So, but I do think that sometimes women tend to seek approval. Mm. We seek validation from outside.
Mm-hmm.
And that is a line that we need to understand that, you know, you need to be careful about being likable. You know, it's just out in the news about Harvey Weinstein and
yes,
how he was, you know, taking advantage of these young people. Now, that is wanting to be liked, mm-hmm. right? Mm-hmm. Wanting to be amenable, mm-hmm. right? Wanting to not rock the boat. Yeah. And then women get into these kind of situations. So you need to have very clear sense of self, yeah. of your self-worth. You know, nowadays, I you know, the world really is out there. You know, there are so many things that people want, but work for it. Don't try and attain it the easy way, you know. I mean, I get really upset by stories and you know, people telling me about women who go and be and look for sugar daddies mm-hmm. just because they want a handbag. Why sell yourself so cheap? You know, what is this thing about wanting things early? I think also social media, you know, don't get fooled by Facebook, by Instagram pictures. I mean, those pictures, they've taken like 26 shots of themselves and they posted one of them looking so eternally happy with and these are all fake, right? Yeah. Even myself, I don't post Facebook pictures of myself looking really like a wet cat, you know. I only post when I think, oh, today I'm looking really nice. Okay, I take a picture of myself. Oh, click, take the 27th selfie. Oh, that one looks nice. Then I post out and say, hello, everybody. I mean, come on, you know. We need to understand that media creates false hype and illusions and not go for that, you know. I mean, have integrity. Go for solid, long-term success.
Yep. And what about you, Yasmin? Have you had that problem of, you know, considered not being likable or, you know, because sometimes when you speak out against things, let's say something that you didn't quite like, maybe that a male counterpart said, you know, how has that affected you, if at all?
Sometimes I don't give two hoots. Whether you like me or not, mm-hmm. or based on what I say or what sort of factual information I provide. I make it a point to address issues that are of concern. And I'm very aware also that not everyone will like my responses. But I try to make it very clear where I'm coming from with my responses or with my opinions on things. But at the end of the day, likeable or not likeable, if you're going to address something common like sustainability or let's protect this river, we've got a set of differences apart and work together. Mm-hmm. So I think that's a dynamism everyone should be aware of or embrace. I think in this age and time, in partnerships, engagement is very critical. So if you focus on things that are minute, mm-hmm. how you look, how people judge you, and all that, then nothing really gets done.
Yeah.
So like me or not, I'm sorry. You know, let's get down to the real nitty gritty of
the real
things.
Issue at hand.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
You know, now I'm at an age where I call people out. If I find bad behavior, I will call them out on it.
Mm-hmm.
Because, you know, there's just too much laxity. People are getting away with all sorts of rubbish and nonsense, you know.
Yeah.
I'm now at the age where I feel, you know, I'm not going to stand for it. You know, if I don't speak out, who's going to speak out?
Mm-hmm.
Young people maybe have less personal power or they have less confidence to do this. You know, I'm at a stage in my life where I really don't give two hoots about what people think about me. I've been there, done that for many, many things.
Mm.
And now if I see bad behavior, I will call them out. Strangers or friends. Well, that's why my husband says I have very few friends.
But, you know, sometimes it's better to have a few good close friends than a bunch that, you know, give you a 5-star rating, 4-star rating behind your back. You know, like this kind of friends can come and go.
And are you both mentors to women now? I mean, is that something that you're consciously doing, you know, if at all?
I practice that in my office
mm-hmm.
because I'm not in charge of their day-to-day activities. So it's a little bit easier because if you are supervising someone, it's very hard to be their mentor as well as their supervisor.
Yeah, sure.
So because we have a fairly structured office, you know, I find that I have opportunities to do that with the people that are in my office, you mm-hmm. know, and I have an open door policy and I see our people developing and going there. So I do consciously seek to do that in within my office, in my confines. But among my friends and my peers and so on, it's a less formal kind of thing. You know, like Yasmin says, people call me up, I always have time.
Yeah.
Especially for women, because, you know, this thing about women being mean to other women, I really don't subscribe to that.
Yep.
And I think as a woman then, I mean, the fact that it is out there, myth or not, means that there it started from somewhere.
Yeah.
And I feel that, you know, I, as a woman, I need to dispel this, you know. And if I have an opportunity to help someone, to give advice, I mean, my God, advice is so free and so cheap, you know. I do it.
And you, Yasmin, are you, I mean, you said you mentor basically everyone, but you know, you have an open door policy, especially for...
I have pretty much an open door policy. I mean, I on a formal basis, people call me, you know, some organizations call me in to do a bit of mentoring, whether it's, you know, startups, entrepreneurship, or even just environment. But I'm pretty much an open door. And if it's something I can sense is important for that individual, especially for a female, I will always try to make time for it. Because I've been there as well. I've been there, and I know sometimes it's not easy to actually decide to reach out also.
Yeah.
It takes a lot of courage and guts. And sometimes you're not even sure you're going to get that kind of response. So I try my very best, especially with the interns, female interns, and my female colleagues as well. And strangely, a lot of the times when they come to me, it's really not about work. It's really about something deeper, something on a more personal level. So I'm happy, you know, to always spend time with them on this. I'm not sure if I'm doing the right thing, but
but at least you're trying.
Yeah,
right?
I mean, you got to support each other as well.
Yeah. And you know, within the sustainability movement, you know, do you think there are not enough women players in it? Because I was reading some articles in The Guardian, and they were naming the top movers and shakers in the sustainability movement, and all of them were men. So they were like, where are the women? Why are none of the women being named? And I guess just on a local level, are you experiencing the same thing, that there's not that many women in the sector?
Actually, for me, right, when I go down to the ground, the females are the common champions I see, unsung heroes, and they're not really bothered about being named a top 10 or not.
Right.
So I think whatever that's in the top 10 listing is, you know, whatever criteria that makes you get your name on that listing. But the more meaningful work that's on the ground, for me, in my own eyes, are still very female-dominated. The male may sit on the pedestal. And I think the women that are doing a great job don't really care whether it's their names are not on the pedestal.
Agreed.
Yeah.
Agreed. Women don't have the time to seek glory, you know.
Yeah.
We're too busy.
Yeah.
I'm tired already at the end of the day.
Yeah. It's like, I'm not in that list. Oh, well.
Yeah, it's okay. You know, it's all right. This list, to get nominated, you have to submit an application. And just to fill in that form.
20 pages.
My goodness. No, thank you. It's all right. I'm busy. So women are too busy.
Yeah. So I guess then, you know, both of you are going to be at the 10th International Kuala Lumpur Eco Film Festival, and you're both part of a forum.
Yeah.
Maybe you can tell us a little bit what's happening there, Yasmin.
So I think for the listeners, this will be the 10th Kuala Lumpur Eco Film Festival, and we've organized something very new. It's called the Sustainability Series Forum, and what it's going to do is basically highlight three prominent areas: women leadership and sustainability. There's one on talking about food for the future, and there's one specifically on youth leadership and sustainability. So the one that myself and Datimina will be part of is the Women's Leadership in Sustainability Forum on the 24th October, Tuesday at Black Box Publica from 1 to 6 p.m. Apart from Datimina, we have four amazing star speakers. Well, they're all women, of course. And I think the one thing, I conceptualized this forum because I think young women need to be a bit more inspired and motivated. Not that we don't have enough people here as role models and all that, but to come and feel the energy. And all the other speakers, like Datimina, represents the retailing side. You know, we've got other people that do wildlife conservation, architecture. So I wanted to bring the whole gamut or spectrum of sustainability that you can be part of. So it doesn't matter whether you're a businesswoman or you're a restaurant owner or you're just a housewife, sustainability is something that you can pick and choose what you want to champion and embrace it. And one common thing which we always forget is we talk about sustainability at work, you know, corporate culture, you know, fulfilling reports and all that, but we also don't realize sustainability starts from home. So I hope that these values will shine from all the speakers, and I'm sure they will shine. And I want this sense of belonging from the participants to look up to them and say, if they've never had a mentor before, here are 5-6 amazing mentors. If you never understood sustainability and how you can incorporate in your corporate life or personal life or in a startup that you want to do, here are amazing ideas that can be generated. So we hope that we can attract not just females, but males to come along to this forum as well.
You know, The Body Shop is the single largest cosmetic brand in Malaysia. And people always ask me, what is the secret of your success? You know, it's this. It's actually practicing sustainability. You know, a lot of the times people think of sustainability as being able to sustain your business from 1 year to the next, right? It is more than that. And the thing is, the fact that we've managed to thrive, The Body Shop has managed to beat off all the competition and still be the leader and practicing sustainability, doesn't it tell you something about how you should conduct your business? Mm-hmm. I mean, nowadays, business is bigger than most governments, you know, and businesses have reach that governments cannot get to. You can go and find, I found Coca-Cola right up on Everest Base Camp, the last place before Everest Base Camp, Gorek Shep, and there was Coca-Cola there.
There you go.
Can you imagine?
There you go.
Right? So business has got huge reach and potential. And if business leaders do not step up with to take moral responsibility for the sustainability of this planet, God help us all.
Yeah. Well said.
Well, thank you so much, ladies. That has been, I can feel the, like you said, I can feel the spirit. I can feel,
yeah,
you know.
Wait till you get to the forum. Yeah, wait till I get to the pack.
So the 10th International Kuala Lumpur Eco Film Festival 2017, that's happening from the 23rd to the 29th of October at Publica in Solaris Dutamas. Maybe Yasmin, you can just tell us what the website for that is if you want to get more information.
www.kleff.my or www.clef.my.
Okay.
And you can sign up for the forum. And also, don't forget to check out the amazing range of films we have.
Okay, and the forum with the both of you and, you know, all the other ladies in sustainability, that's happening on the
24th mm-hmm. of October mm-hmm. At Black Box Publica.
Okay, all right. Thank you so much, ladies. It's been such an
thank
inspiring
you,
talk.
Juliet.
Thank you, Juliet. Our pleasure.
I've been speaking to Yasmin Rashid, the president of Eco Nights, and Datin Minachia Fong, the managing director of Body Shop Malaysia, and we've been discussing women leadership in sustainability. This has been Feminist Fridays on The Bigger Picture, BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, The Business Station.